FM 96.3 AM 620. News Talk WVMT.
Welcome back to the Morning Drive, everybody. Kurt and Ken here this morning, and joining us in studio now, it's Vermont State Auditor of Accounts, Doug Hoffer. Good morning, Doug.
Good morning.
Doug, I first want to ask you, just to remind me, how many years have you been the Auditor of Accounts now?
Over 10.
Wow.
I was elected in 12, took office in 13.
Boy, that flew by.
Yes, it did.
I'm just remembering when you became, I was going to say 6 years, that just happens to me on a regular basis where I think of something at my age now, and I'm like, holy cow, that was.
Now I'm trying to think who you replaced.
Tom Salmon.
Right,
yeah. Right. Okay. Yeah.
Yep.
It has been a while.
Who served for 3 terms.
Right.
This is now my 6th.
And before that, I think it was Randy Brock.
Randolph, yes, who I still deal with. Of course, he's still in the Senate.
And then there was the Auditor of Accounts who seemed like they were there forever. Alexander.
Well, no, there were two others. There was Liz Reedy.
Oh, right, Liz, of course.
And before that, the fellow I did some work for, you don't remember? He was there for 4 terms, and then he ran against Jim Jeffords in 2000. Ed Flanagan.
Oh, of course, Ed Flanagan.
Yeah. Jeez.
And then there was a guy, Alexander Acebo.
There were 3 guys in the 20th century who served for 20 years or more.
Yeah, I just remember always seeing his name on the ballot. Every time I go to vote, there it was.
He just passed a few years ago.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
And of course, Ed Flanagan. I forgot
about
that.
And a guy you know, his mother, her husband died when John Franco was young. She married Acebo. So when Johnny was a kid, the license plate number 5 was in his driveway.
Wow. Interesting. Some interesting little... You could have used that in your College of Knowledge stuff, Ken.
I know. You have license plate 5?
Is that the other? I don't have to have it, but it's Joe DiMaggio's number, so why not?
Yeah.
Now, see, I would have known that one, too.
I just learned recently how those license plates are done by the governor.
Yeah.
They're not done by him. They aren't done by him.
No, they're set.
Oh, okay.
They're all set. I don't know that a governor may have had some influence.
I'd seen them, but I didn't know exactly what the pecking order was in all of them and everything. So it's quite cool.
It doesn't have anything to do with the power of my office.
Right. All right, so let's get into a couple issues here, Doug. So the Vermont Department of Public Service adopted a 10-year telecommunications plan. This is a story in VT Digger and other places as well. You have been critical of this plan. Can you lay out what your criticism of the 10-year plan is? And they have to update this plan because of changes in technology. The 10-year plan has to be updated every 3 years?
Correct, yeah. And to be clear, we didn't criticize the substance of the plan necessarily. What we noted was what we perceived as some shortcomings. And, you know, when people are a little annoyed and defensive, they turn shortcomings into deficiencies. We never said they were deficiencies. But in any case, the plan is really important, as you know. It is different than the 10-year electric plan, which involves regulated utilities. As you know, I'm sure, from your time in the legislature, IT and broadband stuff is not technically regulated by the state, by federal law, which is unfortunate in my view and that of many others. So this is a little bit different, but still is addressing a massive hole in the state's infrastructure, as we all know. And the state has spent a whole bunch of federal money trying to advance this over the last few years. But the plan from 21, the last plan, we thought had some shortcomings, and we pointed them out. And the point was the new plan is under development right now. So we couldn't very well audit that because it's active. What we wanted to do was inform both the Public Service Department and the consultants who were working for them that, hey, here are some issues you might want to consider, because the RFP and the contract are virtually the same as it was back in 20 and 21. So we thought, now's the time. If you want to make some changes, this is what we recommend.
And what you have said, according to the article, is you said it's impossible to measure progress towards the state's goals.
Yeah, there aren't... performance metrics the way you would like to see them. And I think in a letter in response from both the consultants and the commissioner, they tried to draw this distinction between electric utilities, which are directly regulated by the Public Utility Commission, and these folks, not these folks, but the CUDs and others who are participating in the development of this broadband landscape. It's not quite the same. Well, that's true. On the other hand, the state, using federal money for the most part, has distributed hundreds of millions of dollars, and with that goes some leverage. And furthermore, if the board, the Vermont Community Broadband Board, which has responsibility over the CUDs, and the Department of Public Service want to be held accountable, there have to be some measures. Otherwise, you just keep limping along year after year after year saying, how are we doing? Well, you know, we're making progress. How much?
Right. Now, that seems like a fair. So now, June Tierney and the consultants have disagreed. This, again, in the Digger article. And they have noted that the department is subject to a high level of oversight. The body regularly appears before several legislative committees where the agency's work is closely scrutinized. And legislators check in on the progress that the department's making on matters such as objectives that are discussed in the state's telecom plan, she wrote. How do you respond to their response to you, which is, it seems like they are almost bristling at what they obviously, you don't call criticism. You just say that you're noting these things, and they seem to take it as real criticism.
Well, they definitely did. And that's not uncommon, although it's not what you prefer when you put out a report from our office. You like the old response from people like Andy Pulido when he was head of corrections years ago. He said, that's good work. Those are great recommendations. We're going to get right on it. And the media loved that because didn't love it because there was no conflict. And the story ended. But as to how the commissioner responded, I'm disappointed. Because to say that we go before committees is nice, but with all due respect to the legislature, they're doing 12 things at once. They're busy. This is a 300-page report. How many people actually read in close reading these kinds of documents? Not many. So I disagree strongly that should be a measure of whether the report is adequate or not. That's not it, really.
And
furthermore, I should add that one thing they did in regard to this particular question where we said there aren't performance metrics. The response from the consultants was, well, the statute doesn't explicitly require that. Oh, please. Come on. You guys have the responsibility for a 10-year plan. If you don't think that performance metrics are required, one, you get to say that the legislature changed the law, or two, just do it. Do you think they're going to complain? I don't think so.
So they're kind of going by the letter of saying, we don't have to do this. We're meeting the state requirements. You're saying that it's something that obviously ought to be done.
Remember the timing. We did this in the midst of the development of the 2024 plan, thinking that they might say, oh, well, that's a good point. We can add that to the scope of work for the consultant, but they didn't.
What do you think will be the response from the legislative committee? Senator Cummings is quoted in here as saying she didn't find this earth shattering, but she said they'll take a look at all this. What do you think the legislative committees ought to do with the points that you're noting?
Well,
here?
We're going to be testifying undoubtedly before those committees, and the Joint IT Committee is supposed to be meeting before the session. And Randy Brock, Senator Brock, is the chair, I think the outgoing chair. So we'll talk to them and see what their feeling is about this. It's up to them. We can only issue the reports and hope that the information is reasonable and compelling. I hope that they would consider the importance of performance metrics, that the legislature has been talking for years about accountability. And the only way to do that is to say, this is how we're going to measure success. It won't always be perfect. Sometimes it'll be challenging, but you have to try. And as for, a couple of key issues like affordability, we said, you didn't get it. And it's a goal. It's a specific goal in the statute. And they said, well, we addressed it. Well, yeah, if you search the document, it's mentioned about 40 times. But where is the definition of affordability and where is the recommendation? You know what the recommendation on affordability is? Let me read this. Closing the gap in access across the state should be accompanied by addressing issues like affordability. The plan recommends CUDs include subsidy programs for low-income subscribers. Is that a recommendation? They're saying the CUD should do it. That's my point. By saying it's should be addressed isn't addressing the issue to me.
And it's obviously a huge issue, which involves a lot of taxpayer money.
Yeah.
And affordability should always be, I would think, should always be at the top of mind for all of us.
Yeah. It's complicated in IT. Very complicated. And nobody would deny that, but I think they missed it.
Absolutely. If no changes were made as a result of what you have noted here, where do you think this would leave us with the
With a plan that doesn't answer a couple of key questions? How will this serve low-income Vermonters? And what is the point of running fiber by every household in the state if a significant percentage of them can't afford to buy the service when it was supposed to be universal? Not just access, but use and availability. And the other is, why wait another 3 years? Is somebody going to take responsibility for this? And you know, in parallel is the work of the VCBB, the Broadband Board. They have distributed hundreds of millions of dollars to these CUDs, which are, they just were born, except for one, as you know, EC Fiber. They're brand new. They're tiny. They don't have any history. They don't have the expertise. They're having to pay for expertise. They have no leverage against the providers who they negotiated these contracts with. And they're supposed to solve these problems? I don't think they have the capacity.
We're talking with Vermont's Auditor of Accounts, Doug Hoffer. If you have a question for Doug, give us a call on the McKenzie Country Classic Hotline, 888-414-0303.